Let's slow down a moment and go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of approaching your throne. I thank you for the privilege of calling you Father. I thank you for the blood of Christ that cleansed me from my sins. I thank you for an empty tomb. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that before the foundation of the world, you knew every sin I would ever sin. You know every wrong thought I would have, every wrong thought I would keep, and yet you loved me. And what's true of me is true of all of humanity. Father God, you love humanity. You love all of humanity, but not all of humanity loves you. All of humanity is not going to love you. But that doesn't stop you from loving all of humanity. Now, Father, I've come to the microphone because I think this is your will at this moment for my life. I want to obey. I want to obey you. I want to be to you and for you. All you would have me to be to you and for you. So I'm going to ask you, Father God, to take the message today, encourage those who need encouragement, strengthen those who need to be strengthened. And Father, there may be some that need to be recovered. They may have strayed, and they may need to be recovered. I'm going to ask you to use the message to encourage them. Let them know that you are willing, waiting, ready to receive and to recover. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you for the anointing. And now Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, hearts to believe, hearts to receive. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I've entitled this, Great and Precious Promises. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Simon Peter has failed Jesus big time. Failed Jesus big time. One of the most, if not the most prominent, apostle among the apostles. And yet, Christ was arrested. Peter, having been accused of knowing Christ, being identified with Christ, cursed, swore, and denied Christ three times. Then he went out and wept. Christ had told him that was going to happen. Jesus had told him before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And of course he did. He denied Christ, went out, wept in grief that he had done so, repented and was restored. He would not accept a normal crucifixion when it came time for him to die. They were going to crucify him and said, no. Tradition tells us that he would not accept a normal crucifixion. He said, crucify me upside down. So, from everything we understand historically, he was crucified upside down on the cross. Now, our message today is from his second epistle, 2 Peter, starting with chapter 2, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. What was a bondservant? Peter called himself a bondservant. What was a bondservant? A bondservant was one who voluntarily submitted themselves to a lifelong service to another. He did that for Christ. Did that for Christ. He submitted himself to a lifetime of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's writing to others of like faith in Christ Jesus. Now, understand this. He's writing to others of like faith in Christ Jesus. He is writing to those born again. So we come to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It is in and through Jesus Christ that both the grace of God and peace with God is achieved. Can't get it outside of Christ. You will never know the grace of God. You will never know the peace of God. You will never really embrace the love of God until you do that through Christ Jesus. You must be born again. Once you understand that it is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ that sinful man is reconciled to holy God, and there's no other means. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. There's no other means, nor other method. Religious identification with some religious expression will not get it done. Now let me repeat that. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Religious identification with some religious expression will not get it done. It has to be personal, a personal experiential relationship with Christ Jesus. Can you sit down and talk to him today? Can you sit down with Jesus one-on-one, share your heart with him, share your feelings with him, share your burdens with him, and know that you know way down deep in your heart that you've been heard? Can you do that? If not, why not? Are you not related to him, having been born again, or are you just a religious person? The world is full of religious people who are far, far removed from Christ. They've never been born again. Yes, they're religious, involved in a religious activity, practicing that religious activity day after day, but never born again. Can you sit down and talk to Christ Jesus and know when you get through talking to him that you've been heard, that you had his ear, that you've been heard? Can you do that? 2 Peter 1:3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power has given to us, are you ready? All things. Has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The impartation of his Holy Spirit at conversion. What do we mean by conversion? We do not mean when you join some religious organization. We do not mean when you were sprinkled. For that matter, when you were baptized. No, when you were born again. When you went to God acknowledging that you were a sinner, and believing that Jesus Christ is the only name given under heaven where you could be born again and be saved and be made right with God. Jesus and Christ alone. When you come to that point in your life, then when you go before the throne of God confessing that you're a sinner, not trying to excuse your sin, not trying to ignore your sin, but confessing, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to know that I know that I know that I have been born again. Then, my friend, you receive the impartation of his Holy Spirit at your conversion. Now, when you receive the impartation of his Holy Spirit, that, my friend, enables and empowers you for obedience. Without the indwelling, enablement, empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God, you will never achieve obedience to Christ Jesus. Never. You can't do it. You will never obey the Word of God. You cannot. You may jump through a lot of religious hoops. You may pretend that you are right with God, but until you're born again, you're one heartbeat from hell. It's just that simple. You see, once you receive Christ Jesus, then you're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to obey God and what is required. You say, Bob, what does it take? What do I have to do to receive what you're talking about? All that's required is acceptance and submission. You say acceptance and submission. That's exactly what I said. You say, well, What do you mean by acceptance? You accept Jesus Christ for who he is and all that he is. Did you get it? You believe in childlike faith. In childlike faith, you go before the throne of God saying, I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and I want to accept him for who he is. I want to accept him for all that he is. What do I mean by submission? Unconditional surrender to his lordship in your life. Not partial. No. Unconditional, total surrender to his lordship in your life. Now, for most, if not all, it is a progressive process. We come to a point in time in life when we can look ourselves straight in the mirror and say, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You were born with a sin nature. You are activated by that sin nature. You have sinned. You are sinning. You will sin. Why? Because you're a sinner. Now, once you get to that point, you can now say, well, I don't want to be a sinner any longer. I want to surrender. I want to commit unconditional surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And you go to him, you say, Jesus, I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to believe. I want to submit and surrender unconditionally to your lordship in my life. And in childlike faith, Jesus, I come before you. In childlike faith, I come before you saying, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. We're talking about unconditional surrender. Don't let that escape you. Unconditional surrender to his lordship in the life. It's a progressive process. And I'm not off target when I say it is a progressive process for all of us. Now, there comes a moment in time when you recognize, yes, I'm a sinner. You're willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner. You're willing to recognize that you're a sinner. And you're willing to recognize that you cannot change yourself. If you're going to change, it's going to have to be done by God. The Lord God Almighty is going to have to change you. So once you get there, though, once you come to that point in life when you can say to God, I am a sinner. Please be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Then, beginning when you are born again, there's a continuing process throughout the life. Did you hear me? At that point in time, there is a progressive, continuing progress throughout the life of becoming increasingly more Christ-like, sometimes hour by hour, day by day. Sometimes it is an hour by hour process as you come to grips with those things in your life that you know are unchristlike. You confess them. You forsake them. You know, you may get up this morning with a specific sin in your life, and before the day is over, the Spirit of God speaks to you, pointing out that specific sin in your life. You confess that specific sin in your life, receive forgiveness from that specific sin, and release from the unclean spirits attached to that specific sin in your life. And it's a process, folks. Now, God's not going to give up on you, so don't give up on yourself. It is a process. 2 Peter 1:4, by which Christ Jesus, having been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, you see, it is in and through the Christ Jesus that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. A partaker of the divine nature through Christ Jesus, in and through your identification with Christ Jesus, you can be made a partaker of the divine nature, having been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, Listen, the Word of God is full of God's promises to His people. Did you hear me? That's why you should spend time in His Word, getting to know His Word, getting to know the promises to His people. The Word of God is full of God's promises to His people. Just the Psalms themselves are a treasury of promises. You get into the Psalms, and you read the Psalms, and you will find there is a treasure of promises from God there, so that, he goes on, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Stop and think about what I just said. I'm repeating the Word of God to you. That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Let's go back up to the verse again. By which, he's talking about Christ Jesus, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped. Now slow down for just a moment. So that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Once again, I say to you, stop, pause, slow down, and think about that. As one born again, you are a partaker of the divine nature. As one born again, you are a partaker of the divine nature. A partaker in the nature of God Himself. You, born again, a sinner, saved by faith, saved by grace, born again, you are a partaker of the nature of God Himself, which, once you are born again, it is His nature that progressively continues to be developed in you as you daily, day by day, moment by moment, submit and surrender to His Lordship in your life. And that's what it's all about, folks. It's a matter of getting up every morning, dying to self. Get up every morning in the world and take your rightful place of death to self, alive to God through Jesus Christ. You see, it is as you daily submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and that is the only way that you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, is by submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Once again, having escaped, being delivered from the corruption that is in the world through lust. As believers, we are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The moment we are born again, we're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The only power, slow down, listen to me. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. The only power that Satan has in my life is that which I permit him to have. And what's true of me is true of you. I'm going to say that to you again slowly. Listen to it carefully. The only power Satan has in my life is that which I permit him to have. And what is true of me is true of you. What is true of a believer is true of all believers. Did you hear me? What is true of a believer is true of all believers. And you see, that's what discipleship is all about. That is the purpose of discipleship, in discovering who you are in Christ Jesus. Satan is a liar. And every day of the world, when you awaken, Satan is waiting to attack. Doubt, fear, unbelief. Satan is going to attack you in any way and every way that you allow him to attack you. You open the door, he's going to come through it. He's always waiting, watching, looking for an opening into your life. You see, it's discovering all that is available to you through Christ Jesus that enables you and empowers you to walk in victory. to walk in power, to walk in joy. It is discovering all that is available to you through Christ Jesus, not through some expression of religious life. One-on-one, personal relationship with Christ Jesus, having been born again. It's about discovering the enablement. Are you listening? Have you got listening ears? It is about discovering the enablement and empowerment of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Slow down. Listen to what I just told you. It is discovering all that is available to you in and through Christ Jesus. It's about discovering day by day. Listen, it's a process, folks. It's a process. But you have to continually understand and keep discovering the enablement and empowerment as you submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Then as you are enabled and empowered through your submission and your surrendership to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you become increasingly enabled and empowered by His Holy Spirit to stand against everything hell brings against you. You can stand against everything hell brings against you. You can walk away from the battle victorious. It's about discovering. You're discovering, each of us individually, discovering the enablement and the empowerment of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe. It dwells the believer. When you were born again, you received the indwelling Spirit of God. Now we come to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You see, that is why we're told. It's because we have access. It's because we're indwelt now. We are now indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Those of us who've been born again, we are indwelt once again by the creative power of the universe. And that is why we're told, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Giving all diligence? What does that mean? Full and complete submission to the Holy Spirit. Submitting and surrendering daily to the indwelling Holy Spirit to conform you to Christ's likeness, to pattern your life, to bring you into submission of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to develop you as that child of God, that believer priest that God has designated you to be. So he says, giving all diligence, full and complete submission to the Holy Spirit, withholding nothing, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Well, virtue is moral courage. In the smallest expressions of life, that's what we call virtue. Now, that's a classic definition of virtue. It is moral courage in the smallest expressions of life, and you're up against them every day. Several times a day, you have the opportunity to exercise virtue. Once again, virtue, the moral courage. The moral courage in the smallest expressions of life. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to pretend to be something I'm not. I'm going to not pretend to know something I don't know. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be real. Moral courage in the smallest expressions of life. And then add to virtue knowledge. In other words, add to your virtue the Word of God, the ways of God. That is why we spend time in the Word of God. We want to know the heart of God. We want to know the mind of God. We want to know the ways of God. So you've got to spend time in the Word of God. So you add knowledge to your virtue. You add the Word of God, the ways of God. Do you understand the ways of God? No, listen. Do you understand the ways of God? Do you understand how He works? Have you been in the Word? Have you seen what He does in that situation, in that situation? Have you seen how He dealt with that circumstance, that circumstance? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you go prayerfully into the Word of God saying, Holy Spirit of God, Here am I. I'm a child of God, purchased by the blood of Christ. I want to learn the ways of God. I want to know the mind of God. I want to know the heart of God. I am here to discover more and more today. It comes layer after layer after layer, folks. Don't give up on yourself. God's not going to give up on you. But you submission. It is submission of the heart to God. It is the submission of the mind to God. In other words, it is a submission of the heart, of the mind, and of the will to God. Did you get that? It is a submission of the heart, of the mind, and of the will to God. In submission. Submission to God. 2 Peter 1:6. He keeps on. Add to knowledge, self-control. Add to self-control, perseverance. Add to perseverance, godliness. Add to knowledge, self-control. What about your attitudes, reactions, responses in the office, at home, in the family? Add self-control. How much exercising of self-control do you practice? How are you in traffic? How well do you exercise self-control in traffic? How well do you manage your attitudes in traffic? How well do you manage your reactions and responses in the office, at home, at traffic, wherever it may be? How well do you manage your knowledge? How well do you handle self-control, your attitudes, your reactions, your responses? You see, all that's easier said than done. What I'm talking about is easier said than done. And we may give a lot of lip service to it. We may give a lot of lip service to it, but lip service is not the same as obedience. No. Am I obedient to that? It's easier said than done and can only be done through death to self. You got to get up every morning of the world and take your rightful place of death to self. Folks, it starts with each of us. Each and every one of us, day by day, have to get up out of bed in the morning and practice death to self. I'm dying to self today. That the Lordship of Jesus Christ can be manifested in me and through me regardless of the situation, regardless of the conversation, regardless of the circumstances. I am asking you, Holy Spirit of God, enable me and empower me today to die to self so that I can fully, totally, thoroughly, completely submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life, taking advantage and taking dominion over every attitude, every reaction, every response in my life, bringing everything under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission. We're talking about submission, folks. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? Submission to the Lordship of Christ Jesus. Are you willing day by day, moment by moment, day by day, to submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? That's what it's all about. And it's a process. Please hear me. Please hear me. It is a process. But it's a process that every believer has to come through. Each and every adopted child of God has to come through these different levels, 5 to 6 different levels, I keep telling you, in the process of sanctification, through which we become increasingly more Christ-like. And day by day, sometimes we find it more difficult to do that. Sometimes we flunk and we fail. I'm so glad God is gracious and loving, but you have to understand this. What we're talking about can only be done by those who are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? It can only be done by those who are enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the only way, my friend, that you're going to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit is you have to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me? In order to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. You must be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in order to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have to be born again. Being religious won't get it done. Attending church, some religious expression, will not get it done. Now we'll go on. Add to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance. Add to knowledge self-control. Taking control over your responses, your reactions, your emotions. Not letting the emotions drive you. Taking authority over your actions, your reactions, your responses, your emotions, regardless, perseverance, steadfastness in your testimony, steadfastness in your walk with God, steadfast, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of who is involved, regardless of what is involved, remaining steadfast, persevering, steadfast. Persevering in godliness, Christ-likeness. Now, folks, here's a biggie. Christ-likeness in all the expressions of life. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the office, whether it's in traffic, whether it's in the community, whether it's in the shop, whether it's in the shopping center, wherever it may be, Christ-likeness. In each and every expression of your life. In every expression of your life, Christ-likeness. Your reactions, your responses, everything in your life, whether in the home, in the office, in the marketplace, in traffic, in the office, wherever it may be, Christ-likeness, Christ-likeness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And add to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness to our brothers in Christ. Regardless, we're talking about primarily now to our brothers in Christ. Regardless of what they may be to you. Regardless of what they may say to you. Regardless of what they may do, you are to love them. You're to practice brotherly kindness. Folks, there's so much unbrotherly kindness in so much of what we call the church. But then so much of what we call the church is not the church. Because the church, I keep telling you, is made up of those who've been blood purchased, born again, purchased by the blood of Christ, adopted into the family of God, believer priest, child of God. But we are to treat one another in brotherly kindness, regardless of what they may say to you, regardless of how they may act towards you, we are to respond in brotherly kindness. You say, Bob, that's not always real easy. I know. I've been there. I know exactly what you're talking about. But that's what we're to do. We're becoming Christ-like. What did Christ do to those who slapped him in the face? What did Christ do for those who spit on him? What did Jesus do for those who cursed him, laughed at him, mocked at him? He went to the cross. He took their sins on himself to the cross. Just like he took my sins and your sins, the sins of all who will believe, regardless of who they are, what they are, where they've been, what they've done, what they said, what they've been a part of it. Once they come to Jesus, saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. And I'm asking you to forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. That individual had all his sins put to death in Christ Jesus on the cross. Brotherly kindness, as we're enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way you'll get it done, friend. You've got to be enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to practice biblical brotherly kindness, even many times to those in the body of Christ with you, may be sitting near you in church, maybe serving in a position close to you in church, brotherly kindness. And let's face it, we've got folks around us every day that grind our spirit. They grind us a little bit. They irk us. Brotherly kindness carries the day. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying if these Christ-like attributes flood and fill your soul, they flood and fill your soul, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the kingdom of God. And who among us? Who among us wants to be barren? Who among us wants to be unfruitful in the kingdom of God? He says, if these Christ-like attributes flood and fill your soul, you will not be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if your spirit, your soul is filled, saturated with this, then you can't be barren. You cannot be barren. You will not be barren. You will not be unfruitful in your knowledge of Jesus, in your relationship with Jesus, in your intimacy with Christ Jesus. Let me ask you this. How intimate are you with Christ Jesus? How intimate? What is the level of intimacy between you and Jesus? Can you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I got some problems. I'm born again, yes, but I have some problems in my life that I haven't really conquered, but I'm recognizing they're there, and I'm willing to come to you, Jesus. I'm willing to discuss them with you. I'm willing to confess to you that they are there. I'm willing to call them what you call them. Call them sin. Do you have that kind of intimacy with Christ Jesus? Do you have the kind of intimacy that allows you to go into the presence of Christ and say, Jesus, I'm not happy with this situation in the office. I'm not happy with this situation in my home. I'm not happy about this situation in my life. And I want to sit down with you, Jesus. And I want to discuss the whole thing with you. I want to tell you my perception. I want to tell you how I feel about it, how I feel like I'm responding and reacting. And yet, Jesus, not all my responses, not all my reactions are what they should be. So I've got to discuss it with you. I've got to bring it to you. I've got to talk to you about it. Let's consider for a moment. Slow down. We're talking about intimacy with Christ. Let's take this thing deeper. Intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your intimacy right now? How is your intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, if you have intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be barren. You will not be idle. You won't be unfruitful in the kingdom of God. If you have intimacy, we're talking intimacy. Folks, I'm talking to marriages. I'm talking to people in marriages where there are no intimacy. Does that exist in the relationship with the Father? There's no intimacy? Could it be there's no relationship? Could it be that there's no intimacy because there's no relationship? No idol in developing Christ's likeness is acceptable. Unfruitfulness is not acceptable. We have to be actively involved, seeking and searching, submitting and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life in order to develop the fruit of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let me take you to John chapter 15, show you what I mean. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He, that's God, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it might be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now remember, He's talking to His disciples. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Once again, he's talking to his disciples. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. Have you been pruned? I have known some pruning. I have been through some pruning. And I dare say I'm talking to some people today. You've been there. You've been pruned. Not always a delightful, pleasurable experience, but necessary. It's necessary to get us Christ-like. Now we'll continue with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted and even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Peter speaks here to believers. Remember now, he is speaking to believers who have forgotten where God brought them from. Have you lost sight of where God brought you from? Have you lost sight of that from which God has delivered you? Some of these had. And Peter is speaking to believers. Some had forgotten where God brought them from. And some had forgotten from that which God delivered them. And some, more than others, which was true then, is true today. There are those of us in the body of Christ who have been delivered from more because we had more to be delivered from because we've been involved in more, perhaps, than some others. But the point is this. Each and every member of the body of Christ is going to be pruned. Going to be pruned. God has got to get that which is un-Christ-like out of the attitudes, the actions, the reactions, the responses, the lifestyle. All of that has got to be burnt out, cut away, done away with. And it's not always pleasant nor easy giving up that which you practiced for so long, even sometimes in an attitude, even an attitude. But some have forgotten where God brought them from. I haven't forgotten. I have never forgotten where God brought me from. Yes, I look back on what he's brought me through, layer after layer after layer, and he's still not through bringing me through yet. I've still got more layer to go through, and I dare say most of you do. But you see, the problem is this. Some have grown indifferent to what God had delivered them from, and we got people sitting in church every week of the world who have become indifferent to what God had delivered them from. They become indifferent to it. Some have grown indifferent, and to them it no longer really registers. There's no real thanksgiving. There's no real gratitude. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Notice what he's saying. He's writing to believers. Peter is writing to believers. He's writing to those who profess Christ as Lord and Savior. And he's saying to them, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You see, salvation cannot be earned. We got a whole host of people trying to earn salvation through some kind of religious expression. Can't be done. No amount of religious activity will secure salvation for you. It won't do it. Can't be done. None were more religious than the Pharisees. None were more religious, but they were lacking something. So much of the religious leadership of the nation did not conceive and did not perceive who Christ was. Therefore did not receive and believe. Therefore they were religious, but they were religiously lost. Do you understand? To be born again is a life-changing experience of the Holy Spirit. But understand this, no amount of religious activity will secure salvation for you. Let me say that again slowly, but surely. No amount of religious activity will secure salvation for you. You can be involved in religious activity 7 days a week. That will not secure salvation for you. The only way that you're going to receive a life-changing experience of the Holy Spirit of God in being born again is you've got to go before the throne of God saying, Lord God Almighty, I'm a sinner. I have sinned, I am sinning, and I do sin because I'm a sinner. But I'm coming to your throne, and I'm saying I don't want to be a sinner any longer. I want to become a new creation. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into your family. I want to be a believer priest. I want to be a soldier of the cross. I want to be born again. And therefore, Christ Jesus, I ask you in childlike faith, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Oh, friend, we have so many religious people who are one heartbeat from hell. So many religious people, so many in positions of religious leadership, in religious activities that are themselves one heartbeat from hell. And I'm trying so hard to help some of you better understand what Christ meant when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That religious leader, you must be born again. You see, coming to Christ and being born again is a life-changing experience of the Holy Spirit. It can occur in a moment of time. And then when it does occur in that moment of time, it becomes a progressive continuance of becoming increasingly more Christ-like year after year, day after day, as we are prompted, enabled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we cannot become increasingly more Christ-like unless we are prompted, enabled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we can't get that prompting, that enablement, or that empowerment until we're born again. We have to be born again. Therefore, brethren, he's wrapping it up. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. What's he saying? And he's talking to believers. Make sure that you know that you're called of God. That's what he's saying. To believers in that day, to believers in this day, make sure that you know that you're called of God. That you're not just some religious person in a religious exercise, a religious practice. No. That you're called of God. You have to know way down deep in your heart and your spirit that you've been born again. You have to know that you're one of the elect. Who are the elect? Those known by God before the creation of the world who would believe and receive Christ Jesus as Savior. That, my friend, is the elect. The elect are those who were known by God before the creation of the universe. God knew who would believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Have you? Will you? If you have not, will you? Are you willing? 2 Peter 1:11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That entrance can only be found in and through being born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God other than by being born again. You may be involved in all kinds of religious activity, activity and practices, but you will never find entrance into the kingdom of God until you are born again. You will never find adoption into the family of God till you are born again. How many of the religious leadership in the days of Christ Jesus are in hell right now as I speak to you? Did you understand what I'm saying? How much of the religious leadership in the days of Christ Jesus are in hell as I speak to you? Why are they there? Jesus, speaking to much of the religious leadership in his day, said this: "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." The religious community is a mixed bag of different religious communities. But the bride of Christ, the brotherhood of believer priests is made up of those born again. 2 Peter 1:12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. I will continue to remind you of this spiritual reality." 2 Peter 1:13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up, reminding you." You see, prior to his coming to Christ, Peter was a fisherman. Whether or not he was a religious fisherman or not, I don't know. We're not told if he was a religious fisherman or not. We're not told. But he submitted, and he stumbled. He stumbled in his walk with Christ. He denied Christ 3 times, but he was restored and became a champion of the faith. Have you stumbled? Have you failed in your walk with the Lord? Restoration is yours upon repentance, as it was with Peter. Peter repented. He was restored. 2 Peter 1:14, Peter says, knowing shortly, I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Jesus had revealed to Peter that death was close. Jesus had revealed to Peter that death was close. Peter was ready. Peter could look death straight in the face and say, "I know who you are. I know why you're here, and I'm ready for you." Can you say that? Can you say that? Peter goes on, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." He says, "I write these things so that after I am gone on to glory, you can be reminded of these spiritual truths." I wonder, shouldn't each of us seek to leave a spiritual legacy behind us when we go? And what kind of spiritual legacy are you leaving? Each of us who've been born again should seek to leave a spiritual legacy behind us when we go. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I ask you to take the message, take it and use it, I pray, to advance the kingdom of God, do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Oh, Heavenly Father, move in the hearts of those who receive the message. And Father, strengthen them, encourage them. Where conviction is needed, give us conviction. Where encouragement is needed, give us encouragement. Be glorified. Be glorified in who we are and what we are. All we say, all we do, all we think, be thou glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, hearts, have shared my heart with you. I think I've shared with you the message that the Father wanted me to share with you today. And now as we close the broadcast out today, I'd like to give those of you who may not know Christ as your Savior, and I may be talking to people who are involved in church activity, but you don't know that you're born again, and therefore you're not really prepared for the last heartbeat. I wonder if in the closing moments of our time together, if you'd be willing to come to Christ and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be received into the family of God. And so I come to you, Lord Jesus, confessing I'm a sinner. And in childlike faith, Jesus, asking you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on that cross, you became sin. You who knew no sin, took my sin upon yourself and put my sin to death in yourself. And for that I'm grateful. For that I'm thankful. And because of that, Lord Jesus, I simply come, say, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I choose to submit and surrender to your Lordship in my life. And then, Holy Spirit of God, lead me, guide me, direct me to that fellowship that the Father would have me to be a part of. To that fellowship where I can be strengthened in my walk with the Lord. I can be discipled. And I can become increasingly more Christ-like. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we get a chance to do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.